We are Sheffield Community Church, where we represent God to the lost and found. This is the podcast of our Sunday service. We hope this message blesses you and leads you to a better life.
So, we've been walking in series of, Pastor introduced the series of Altars of Easter a few weeks ago. Today, even as I speak, I believe that the topic of my message is another altar of Easter, another altar of worship, that is an altar of commitment. So for those at home and for those of here, I would like you to know that the topic of my message is the next level of commitment. And with the media team helping me, our text for today is taken from Ruth 1, from verse 15 to 17. If you could just flag it there. So this is the text for today. But just to give you a recap, the book of Ruth is written at a time after Judges, which was a time which was characterized by idol worship, disobedience, and people moving away from God. And in this book, we meet a lady who was called Naomi, and she was married to a man called Elimelech, and they were blessed with two sons, Kilion and Malon, and they lived in the land of in Jerusalem. But then at this time, there was famine in the land, and they heard that there was food and abundance in the land of the Moabites. So they decide to go to the country of Moab. And their sons, Malon and Kilion, met women. One married Ruth, another one married Orpah. So here, when we meet at this story, Ruth, Naomi has just lost her husband. Not only has she lost her husband, she has also lost both her sons. This is a difficult situation, even just to imagine it. It's one thing to lose a husband, but for a woman to lose a husband and all her children, it's a desperate situation. It's difficult even to imagine what she was going through. So with nothing to offer, she has no job, and the breadwinners of the family are all gone. She says to her daughters-in-law, Ruth and Orpah, listen, my children, I've nothing to offer you. I've no job. Even if I were to get a man today, I wouldn't produce another son whom you would wait for to become a husband to you. So would you kindly go back where you came from to your parents? I'm not chasing you away, but what I'm saying is I've nothing to offer. Can you go back to your parents? And Orpah kisses Naomi and goes back to her parents. But Ruth takes another turn. Ruth sticks to Naomi. For those, I think Phil and Ropa are the last people last to get married. You still remember your wedding vows? Maybe some of us might have forgotten. But nobody forgets this. Wedding vows are meant to go up to the time when God takes one of you to heaven. They're not meant to end when you divorce. We're not meant to divorce. It's not meant to be like that, except for sin. But here we see that Ruth has lost her husband. She has lost a father-in-law. She has lost a brother-in-law. But she says to her mother-in-law, your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. I know it is easy just after a wedding. When you go for a honeymoon, these things are easy to come. His people are my people, and everything concerning him is mine. But such things only last in most homes up to the end of a honeymoon. When people start knocking at your door, when young brothers and sisters start calling you, asking for money, or of visiting unannounced, people forget that they said, your people will be my people. So, but then for Ruth, her wedding vows went beyond the grave. By the way, there is nothing wrong which Orpah did. She just did as the Bible says, till death do us part. So she said, my husband is gone and I am going. There is nothing to live for. But not for Ruth. She clung to the mother-in-law who at that time could give her nothing. So let's read the text. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Sorry, I'm just organizing my things. So what we are talking about is the next level of commitment. And we want to see what it is that we say has brought commitment to this woman. And in the next level of commitment, there are certain criteria which you must follow. And we see that the first one, media team, the first one is the next level of commitment, following the following qualities. Can you bring the first quality, please? Having a godly perceptive. This is the ability to see a life from God's perceptive. Eyes that see beyond the natural, to see in the supernatural, to say what I can see with my eyes is something which is not real. What I can see with my eyes so shows that there is no husband, there is no job, there is no food, but I want to go beyond the natural. I want to see in the supernatural. In life, seasons change, and seasons can change without us being prepared. Even the seasons of the year, they don't remain at one point. We know there is summer, there is winter, there is spring, there is autumn. Each season comes with its own challenges. Each season might come. Some seasons bring us joy. Some season bring us sadness. For the season of winter, for example, I find it very difficult when it goes dark at 3 p.m. But that's the season. And then come now, the season of spring. You wake up and the birds are singing. It happens in your life. A job might suddenly get finished. When we are speaking now, we don't know what is going to become to most people. There are people who are in jobs who are offering them to go on unpaid leave right now. They don't know what will happen tomorrow. Universities have closed. Schools have closed. Nobody knows when these places will open. But we continue to look to God, who knows and understands the seasons. Amen. When you get married, it might take forever for a baby to come. And people will start asking, what are you waiting for? They don't know you are spending sleepless night praying for this thing. It's the season. You've got to wait because God does things in his own way. Amen. And this is what we see If some of us just looked at what is happening around us and say, how will I worship God? What is happening in my life? Some of us will have left church a long time ago. Some of us will have given up, but we hold on because there is nothing else we know better than God. The second thing is having a servanthood attitude. And we see that in Ruth 2, verse 2. Ruth 2, verse 2, media team will be patient with you. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone whose eyes I find favor. Naomi said to her, go ahead, my daughter. So a servanthood attitude, as I have said, is the second point. Ruth clung to Naomi and saved her with a joyful heart, with love and willingness. She saved her with persistence. She saved her as a woman who saves her mother. Ruth didn't look to Naomi as a mother-in-law. Maybe I should remind the married, especially the young, that the mother of your husband is not just a mother-in-law. She is your mother. And this is what we see in Ruth. She treated Naomi as a mother. If this was her mother, not her mother's husband, she would not have left her because daddy has passed away, because brothers have passed away. She would have stayed. And this is what she did. She clung to her and she stayed with her and she saved with her in all the ways. When we look at the word in James 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourself before the Lord and he will lift you up. And this is what happens when you save somebody with a humble spirit. God will lift you up. And this is what happened to Ruth. The next one is, another point, which is serving God with a humble spirit. We see that even for us, we have never gleaned just from reading from the Bible. Gleaning comes as one of the meanest things, one of the things which is very low. For somebody to go and glean in somebody's field, it shows that they are desperate. It shows that they don't have, because all they are looking for is the leftovers. The owner of the fields and the people who work in that field will pick all the good things and they will harvest because it's their field. But when you are gleaning, what you go is you slowly and patiently go behind those who are harvesting and you are picking one after another, not even knowing whether it will be a bucket full, not even knowing whether it will be a dish full. But all you are doing is trusting on God. But Ruth tried her best. She went to glean, knowing that there was nothing else they could eat unless if she did this. What is it you need to do to move to your next level of commitment in the area of your service? Sometimes we think that things are complicated, but when we look at life even now, life is really complicated. Even on a very cold day, there's never been as few people as this in the church. Most churches are not meeting. And even today, as I was coming to church, I was listening to the radio, and the announcer was saying to everybody, we know you love your mothers. We know you love your grandmothers. But this is a Mother's Day with a difference. Don't visit them. Don't go and kiss them. Just phone them. Just wave. Just tell them you love them. How difficult can that be? I listened as there was one woman who said that she was in the end stage of suffering from cancer. And she said she is aware that her days are numbered. And she is also aware that this might be the last Mother's Day she has. So she said she's not defying the rules, but she just wants to say a goodbye to her children. Can you imagine what that is? And this is how life can turn around. Nobody of us knew that things will be like this. People have gone in shops. They found they have no food. They found shelves empty. I went to Costco, one of the biggest wholesalers, where shelves are normally stacked up to the roof with food, but there was nothing. No essentials. You can also see what a spirit of panic can do to a nation. Even when the leaders are talking to us and saying, calm down, there will be food for everyone tomorrow. There will be food for everyone next week. Nobody of us believes them because nobody knows how long this disease is going to take. But like what Paul says in 1 Timothy 2:7, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. At such a time as this, we all need a sound mind. A sound mind to know that I should not hoard. A sound mind to know that there is another family who is out there who might be struggling to get tomorrow's next meal, and yet I have got 5 bags of rice in my house. These times are times when we all need to be mindful of loving and looking after each other. Even those people whom you don't know, the disease has gone on the whole earth. Nobody is spared, if not for God's mercy. So this is the time when we are called to be committed to loving, to be committed to serving, to be committed to prayer, to be committed to Bible study. As you can see, most people are not here. But this is not the time when we are going to say churches are closed and we'll have a lie-in. This is the time when we should be seeking God more. This is the time when we should be trying to pray. Even those of us who have never shared a Bible verse with the family, this is a time when we will say, my family, these are difficult times. Who knows if we won't rise? Who knows what will happen tomorrow? These are times when even those of you who are at home should be reading your Bibles, should be taking time to pray. Even if we have been asked to social distance, praying with someone on the phone is not part of social distancing. It's part of getting connected to those whom you love, those whom you care for. And these are the things which we should try to adopt at such a time as this, to try to see that our oil in the lamp does not go dry. Our lamp does not go out. As Pastor preached the other time, may our altar always have a burning fire. May our altar always have a mother, a woman who is on their knees, a man who is on their knees, because it's a time when we are called to cry for the nation, to cry for ourselves, to cry for our community, our church. We don't know. Maybe all of us here are carriers. We don't know. Only those who have been tested know. Amen. We might be the walking dead, but we are alive in Jesus' name. And we are called not to be afraid. Let's be committed to the things which God has called us to do. Amen. And prayer is one of them. Yes. Especially this time of Lent, prayer and fasting will carry us far. Amen. And like I said in my prayer, King Jehoshaphat looked to the Lord and said, we do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Yes. May our eyes be on God. Mm-hmm. May we remain committed now more than ever before. Amen. And then another point is for you to be able to move to your next level of commitment, you need a teachable spirit. As we see in Ruth 2, verse 22. Ruth 2, verse 22. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with the women who work for him, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed." Naomi was talking to Ruth because she had been gleaning in a Boaz field. Naomi was the only person between the two of them who knew this land, because this was her own land. By the way, I think I forgot to tell you that after Naomi lost her husband and her sons, she and Ruth now went back to Moab because God had remembered the place, and God had come in abundance and there was food, and they went back. So when they got back, so this is where Ruth is gleaning now, is a field in Boaz's land in Moab. So Naomi was the only person who understood the people, who understood this land. And she is urging Ruth to say, don't go in anybody else's field. Just stick to that one field. If Ruth was not a well-brought-up woman, she would have gone everywhere looking for things here and there. But her mother-in-law told her, stick to that one field, because she wanted her just to carry herself well as she did. And in that field, she knew she would build a relationship with the people, and they will also respect her. They will also have pity on her. And as we realize, if you read the whole book of Ruth, you will realize that Boaz instructed his people to say, when you glean, deliberately let some of the sheaves fall down so that Ruth can pick them. And she picked them because she found favor. She found favor in these people. She found favor with them because she had stuck to her mother-in-law. Ruth had been watching to see Naomi worship. Ruth had been watching maybe to see Naomi pray. And this was one of the reasons I think she stuck to her. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I would like to think that Ruth, when she realized how committed Naomi was to her God, she decided to say, I will stick to her. I will take her as my mother. The God whom she worships is a true God. Because Ruth had been brought up in a land where they were worshiping idols, but she saw that Naomi was committed to a true God. And she said, I will follow this God. I will go with this woman. And little did she know that God was going to do a miracle through Naomi. If she had not followed her, things would not have turned out as we later see in Ruth 4. So for us to have a teachable spirit, we are supposed to remain open to counsel, remain open to advice, remain open to correction. Some of us, when they have been taught and they think they know it all, they start avoiding even their mentors. Young people, especially young leaders, do not do this. No matter how much you think God has anointed you, no matter at what level you think you have arrived, always be connected to a mentor. Be answerable to someone. We never arrived in the land of learning. Every day we are learning. Mrs. Moyo is years younger than me, but I'm still learning at her feet. We should do that. Whether your mentor is older than you or younger than you, keep learning. At work, keep learning. In all places you go, keep learning. You will find that even at workplaces, those people who do not want to be corrected or who do not want to learn are the most difficult people to work with, because they don't listen to anyone. They miss some of the key things which other people have, because they don't want to learn, they don't want to be corrected, they miss the key areas. You find that even in a home, those children who don't listen to their mothers, when they grow up, they will meet what they were running away from next door. Because now when they are married, their home will also desire them to do those things that their mothers were teaching them. So if you didn't sit at the feet of a mother to learn, you didn't sit at the feet of a teacher or a mentor to learn, how are you going to do it? When finally, when at some point, you young people are ordained as pastors, as leaders, how are you going to lead your church if you have refused to learn? How are you going to come back to your senior pastor or to somebody who taught you if you think you have arrived? We never arrive. We keep learning. So keep learning no matter how much you keep learning. Do not change the tide. Always remain at the feet of somebody and know that as long as you keep learning, as long as you keep committed to God, God will never forget you. Amen. God never owes a person anything. Amen. God sees your service. When you wake up in the morning as ushers and you come to sweep the sanctuary, you come to clean the toilets, don't think that God is not seeing you. God can see and God cares. Yeah. Don't wait for people to say thank you. When you serve, nobody might even say thank you. Some of us might not even notice, but that should not take you from your area of service. Continue to serve. When you serve, continue to serve because you are serving God. Amen. Colossians 3:23 says, do everything as unto the Lord. Amen. You are serving the master. You are only looking for one applause which matters, the applause of heaven. It doesn't matter that the pastor has said thank you or has said well done. If he doesn't see you the whole year, it doesn't matter. Just keep serving. Young people, don't serve in order to be seen by a young man so that you will get a husband. Because now, if that man does not come, you will stop serving. I have seen people who have been in churches for a long time and they've been serving. And they thought they were not elevated to another place. And then they said, oh, they don't even see that I give so much. I come early in the morning. I go and buy. I use my money. I do this and I do this. For whom are you doing it? If you are doing it for people to see, you might as well stop now. Because some of us might not even eat the food you have bought. Some of us might not want it. Some of us might just not be taking one food or another. Just to save for God. It doesn't matter. When you clean those tailors, God can see. And God will reward you. The Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And in due time, God will pay you back. God will pay you back. This is what we see that happened to Ruth. If you read Ruth 4, you will see that while Ruth was serving her mother-in-law, a man noticed her. Boaz noticed her. And when even the kinsman redeemer who was close to her said, I might take the field, but to take another woman, no. I will not do that. Boaz was in line. God spoke through him, and Boaz took Ruth. And look what happened later. She moved from rags to riches. Whoever knew that Ruth would be in the line of our Messiah? Whoever knew? But this comes from service. This is what we should do. When you serve, what is it you are trying to achieve? Are you wanting a position? Are you wanting people to clap for you? Just remember, you serve only one living God, the God above, the God in heaven. When we serve, God blesses us abundantly. We must not only think that Blessings come in forms of money. Just walking like this is a blessing. Amen. Some people are laid on their beds, and you are walking. It's a blessing. Amen. Just to be able to see another day, it's a blessing. Amen. Just to be able to have a family, it's a blessing. Amen. Just to be able to see. Some people are blind. They can't see. Some people are deaf. They can't hear. But you can see, you can hear, you can eat food and taste it. Think of those people who have to get food through the tube. They can't taste it. This is the situation. So please, let's continue to serve God. And remember that God is always watching. God is always watching. There is an abundance next door. Let's not stop today. Let's continue in our service. Let's continue even during this time, because God understands. Even as we continue to serve, as we continue to pray, let's continue to pray for the people who are in frontline jobs, key workers everywhere, bus drivers, lorry drivers, people who bring food even to this place, people who bring food to everywhere, people who make that food. Let's pray that even as people are stashing away food and putting it together, that food is protected from coronavirus. Amen. If not for the mess of God, who knows what loaf of bread you are buying? You don't know whether it's infected or not, but we just take food and eat. It's all because of the mercy of God. Let's pray for those people who have decided. Some people are retired, but they have even heard the call now to say, those who are retired and able, please come and help. People are working 24/7. In some countries like Italy, for those who have been watching the news, we have seen that the country has been hit hard. We are still here. So let's continue to pray. Let's continue to worship. Let's continue to encourage each other in all ways. And let's be mindful of what the government is saying to us. Let's listen and let's practice all forms of precautions which we hear. And let's take it to heart. And let's take it strongly. May God bless us. May God bless you, even those who have listened from home. In Jesus' name. Amen.
If God is transforming your life through this podcast, take courage and visit us in person. We would love to meet you and get to know you more. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you soon.